CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzer. Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes political economics, and he turns our attention to the trouble with the Tories. In power for 13 years, doesn't sound troubled. Three prime ministers in a row, Boris Johnson, Liz Truss, Rishi Sunak. No challenge from the opposition to these choices because the Tories are in trouble. How do you get in this much trouble with the overwhelming majority they possess in Parliament? Joe, a very good evening to you. Let us begin with the difference in governance. Parliament is divided into parties. There is the Conservative Party, the Tories. There is the Liberal Democrats. They're a small constituent. There used to be Scottish Nationals. They might still be there. And there's the Labour Party that has been out of power for a long time. When do the Tories need to go to the electorate, presuming that they don't lose a vote, a confidence vote between now and then? And what happens in British elections? How do they work? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John. Well, so the next election has to happen no later than January 2025. So it must happen within the next 12 months. Although they do have some discretion about the precise date on which they will call it. And so I think that the betting right now is that it's going to be sometime in the autumn, perhaps October. And I think that what will end up happening here, instead of voting for the individual who you want to become the prime minister, you have to vote for your member of parliament, and then the parliament technically elects the prime minister, who in practice, the prime minister is the leader of whichever party has a majority or perhaps a plurality of seats in the House of Commons. So I think that, elections here in the United Kingdom do tend to be much more built around political parties than they are around individual candidates, in the manner of U.S. elections, particularly when we have U.S. elections for Congress or Senate. Here, people are really focused on voting for whichever local parliamentary candidate where they want that party to win the national election.
And you do not need to live in the constituency where you're elected. That is a twist. This is about parties, and the parties have policies. So we begin with the policies of the party, the Tories, the Conservatives, who've been in power for, I believe, 13 years. The policy that comes to mind is, you would assume, Conservative, small government, low taxes, lots of prosperity. And you would be wrong. How wrong, Joe?
You would be very wrong if you assume that. That is a big part of the political problem that the Tories have at the moment. First off, as you point out, they have been in power for 13 and a half years now. They first came in June, I think it was, of 2010, under David Cameron, a Conservative leader and then Prime Minister at the time. So already 13, 14 years, that is an extraordinarily long time for a political party to stay in power. We know in the U.S. that it's very unusual for a party to hold on to the presidency for more than three terms at a time, for instance. So you have that element of political and intellectual fatigue that always sets in on the part of any ruling party. And then I think the Tories have several other complicating factors. I think that one is that they really got themselves twisted in knots over the issue of Brexit. David Cameron had called that referendum in June of 2016. It didn't go the way that he thought it would, and that ended up setting in motion this phenomenon of the party changing prime ministers quite frequently. Remember, then we had Theresa May, and then we had Boris Johnson, and then we had Liz Truss, and now we're up to Rishi Sunak. So I think that instability has been bad for the party, and it's been symptomatic of the difficulty that the Tories have had reckoning with Brexit once that referendum happened. And then I think that they also faced a bunch of economic challenges, some due to factors beyond their control, others bad policy decisions they've made. That means that the economy really in many respects, feels like it has limped out of the pandemic. We've had the inflation crisis in the same way that the U.S. has experienced very high inflation. There's been an energy price crisis over here, which is part of the inflation story. There's been a sense that the economy is not firing on all cylinders. And, you know, that's a particular problem for the conservatives, because their pitch to voters has always been that they would be the competent economic managers who would know how to deliver prosperity. And they're not doing it right now. And I think that their failure to do that is the source of a lot of political problems. And the reason that the opinion polling right now suggests that they are headed right into a historic defeat when the next election happens.
Liz Truss, she was prime minister for 49 wonderful days. She made no mistakes that I can see, except for she advanced the idea of cutting taxes. What's wrong with that? Why was she rejected by her party that you would assume welcomed cutting taxes?
Well, again, I think that that saga back in the autumn of 2022 is symptomatic of a bunch of deeper problems within the Conservative Party. One is that the party is not really a free market party. I mean, it produced Margaret Thatcher, who was a very long serving prime minister throughout the 1980s, and who brought in a very aggressive free market agenda. But even when she was the prime minister and the leader of the Tories, the party was never completely united behind that policy. And I think that there's a big segment of the Conservative Party that is actually much more liberal in the American sense, of being kind of centrist or even a bit left-leaning in terms of their attitudes toward tax policy or government spending and social services or foreign policy or environmental issues. And for those voters, you know, conservatism is sort of more of a cultural identifier or habit or tribe than sort of an economic policy orientation. And so I think that the Tories have always had a lot of trouble uniting that wing of the party with the more Thatcherite free market wing. And what you saw during the Liz Truss era, as brief as it was, is that she really came from the free market wing. And I think she was probably right about the agenda that the party needed to embrace in order to really shake the economy out of its malaise and position the Tories to be viable the next election. Partly she had bad luck in terms of some market developments. Partly she made some political mistakes. But mostly the party was just not ready to embrace that agenda and looked for the first opportunity to try to get rid of it again.
Here's another puzzle about a conservative party. There's a cap on consumer prices for electricity and natural gas. A cap. Now, Joe, we've learned, I think, from history, that any time you cap any price, it creates problems elsewhere. You're mispricing a vital part of the economy, and somewhere, somehow, something's going to break. Do the conservatives understand this?
Not really. I mean, the energy price cap is such an interesting story because it combines a couple big problems that the conservatives have. The reason that they introduced that cap fundamentally when they brought it in under Theresa May in 2019 is that there was concern that energy prices were starting to spiral out of control. And the reason that that was happening, although the party wasn't always willing to admit it, is because a lot of Tory environmental and energy policies have really distorted the markets here and started driving up prices. And that has only become worse as the party under Theresa May and Boris Johnson really threw itself into the net zero energy transition. So, you know, first they undertake all of these market distorting policies that are going to drive up the prices. And then they introduce another market distortion in the form of the price cap in order to try to reckon with the consequences of the first round of mistakes and distortions. And then that policy backfires because the story here has been that although there is a cap, it's an adjustable cap, which means that it has continued to go up for, you know, most of the Tories' time and, you know, the power that this cap has been in effect. And so even though it has come down a little bit over the past few months, The energy price cap rate now is about double what it was when it was first introduced in 2019. So, the Tories can say we brought in this energy price cap, but then voters who are paying their utility bills every month are going to say, well, yeah, and then you doubled the cap, and so my costs are going up. So you can see why voters aren't really giving the Conservatives a lot of credit for that policy.
And green. Are the Tories green? They will not explore the natural gas that is the British possession. It's all over the aisles. They eventually did something about the North Sea oil, but it's lost in translation. I don't know if they raised the quotas or not. They've got coal. They've got lots of opportunities to provide for their own energy. So do they not do it because they're green? Do they not do it because there's opposition in the country? Why not use your natural resources?
Well, again, this, I think, caps off the problems that the Conservatives have been having all along, because the green policies have been completely incoherent. I mean, it sort of started out with this effort to rebrand the party as a green or environmentally conscious party. And then there was a period when they were going to get rid of that because they'd realized it was very expensive and maybe voters didn't care that much anyway. And then Theresa May and Boris Johnson really threw the party into net zero and climate action in particular. And now they are just terribly divided about a lot of these issues because there is a wing, particularly among conservative members of parliament, who are actually very green. And it's a very sincere issue for them. But it's not clear that this is a political winner. And meanwhile, it is tearing the party apart.
And immigration. It's trouble everywhere, I understand. But it strikes me as mighty deaf to call it the Rwanda Bill, a country associated with a catastrophe in the 20th century. It is successful so far, but you report that Rishi Sunak is in trouble over it. Is that correct?
Yes, this is becoming the capping fiasco for the Tories' period in power, because the real migration problem they've got is a flood of illegal migrants trying to cross the English Channel. And this is an immigration policy problem because the country is finding that it can't enforce its own immigration laws or defend its physical border. It's also a humanitarian problem because these crossings are very dangerous and the people who are making them often enthralled to the criminal gangs that are engaged in the trafficking that makes the journeys possible. So, one proposed solution has been to say that they would just ship the migrants to Rwanda, where their asylum claims would be processed there. And this is meant to be a deterrent, because the theory is that the migrants will not welcome the prospect of being flown to Rwanda instead of the United Kingdom, where they want to be. But it's becoming very difficult for Prime Minister Rishi Sunak to get this through. Some people of the party are offended by the idea that you would send the innocent migrants to Rwanda. Other wings of the party don't think that the law goes far enough. And there are also people who think that the law is okay as written, but it's going to be very difficult to enforce. And meanwhile, what the electorate sees is a party that just doesn't seem to have a grip or be able to unite behind one policy for solving this migration problem that the public perceives as being very urgent. So I think that this has been a major political blow for Prime Minister Sunak, that he is struggling to move forward any legislation on this issue.
And quickly, I note about immigration, I thought it was a send-up. There is a report in the London Times that there is a conservative group of students who propose to debate sink the boats. Joe, what does this mean, that the next generation of Tories are as deaf as the present generation?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily read too much into a student group debating question, because students debate all sorts of foolish things. But I think that the bigger issue this touches on is this notion that there is enormous public frustration with the inability of the government to just get a grip on the migration issue. And that frustration is starting to bubble up in all sorts of interesting and unexpected ways. And I think that this controversy over conservative student groups wanting to debate this issue in very provocative terms is symptomatic of a lot of that frustration.
Joseph Sternberg, he writes political economics for the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London. He is a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. Life in London, when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.